And tonight's speaker is David H. He comes to us from the 12-Step Titans group. He just celebrated 6 years. He brings so much laughter to my life, but I have also been able to show up to situations as a better person because of his presence in my life, because the principles of the program have really seeped into who he is. So here is David, and he's paying attention.
Wow. Thanks, Alex. Phenomenal introduction. I wasn't sure who you were talking about. I'm David Hubbard, and I am an alcoholic. Amen. Those four words today mean so much to me because I take pride of being an alcoholic today. My sobriety date, January 15, 2020. Just kind of how it was, you know, I'm from Atlanta, only child, and I think I was an alcoholic before I took my first drink. Black sheep, if anything got took and broken, whatever, I did it, regardless of if I was in the facility or not. I've never been comfortable in my own skin, just always been an odd duck. I remember, like, in first grade, like, I'm towering over all the other kids. Like, it's crazy. Like, I have pictures. Like, I'm this and there, you know, everybody else's, I guess, normal size. Upbringing, you know, single parent, home, grandmother, you know, helped raise me, got aunts and uncles, you know, had a pretty decent, you know, family nucleus. So nothing really out of the ordinary in my childhood to complain about. You know, my father wasn't there. I probably met him 9 times in 42 years. That would play out later on in my life because, I had my first drink at 14, started out with another extracurricular activity that of the burning variety. I quickly realized, like, that was not for me. You know, the paranoia and not being in control of your body, I didn't like that. That first drink of alcohol brought a calm and a very much warm feeling that I was like, I'm going to feel like this way. I always want to feel this way. And, you know, started on Natty Light. Right. That's what's wrong. I dropped in my head a couple times too, but Natty Light didn't help. So, you know, that combined it with, by this time my mom had gotten married and I loved my stepdad. To the point where, you know, I didn't get along with him and, you know, one of us was going to have to go because, like I said, I was an alcoholic before my first drink. And everything was about me. Like, if it didn't satisfy David, then it didn't work. And that was blatantly obvious, you know, during that time. I'm, you know, 14 and just taking off, my drinking career had just taken off. Fast forward to me getting my license. Now I'm like looking, I look 21. So in the small town that I was moved to, one day something just told me, stop at this gas station and see if you can buy alcohol. And I got away with my first, you know, 2 ice house deuces. And I was like, heck yeah. That was my drink at that, you know, that point. Like I was 16 when legally able to buy it, but that quickly, you know, you give me an inch, I'm gonna take a mile. So I went from 2 deuces to like going in literally buying cases, you know, and it got to the point where, you know, the guy knew me when I walked in, like our truck hadn't come in this Tuesday, whatever. That just put a battery on my back, like, oh hell yeah, I can drink. I know where to buy it. And, cool. Enter high school, and, you know, I remember going to my grandmother's house the day before, and, you know, she's not an alcoholic, but I dipped into her closet. She had a bottle of Absolut. I snuck it out, emptied a NyQuil bottle, put the Absolut in there. She's in Atlanta. We're driving down 20. I got it tucked, you know, because I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be I'm going to feel good at school tomorrow, you know. But that was the longest ride because, you know, I'm riding passenger, and I got it. I'm like, you know, there's nothing worse than knowing you can get your fix, but you can't get your fix. You know what I mean? And at, you know, freshman high school, I'm having this gut-wrenching feeling like, I know I can get it, but I can't get it. So needless to say, that was the longest ride back down to the house. First day of school starts, I got my Sprite bottle with my Absolute in it. You know, I'm floating down the hallway. But my first real kind of glimpse into that, it was already a problem in my freshman year was, I'll never forget, my science teacher, Mr. Burge, I don't know if I had my head down. I don't know. I was, you know, kind of leaning and nodding out or whatever. But he says, Al. And I'm like, my name ain't Al. Kahale. First day of school. And I was like, okay. You know, and with that, it still didn't hit. Graduated high school, I don't know, by the grace of God, and flirting with pretty girls that were smarter than me. I got through high school. I was a fifth year senior. Like, I had to go to summer school or whatever. That happened, but I graduated. Because in my mom's house, it's like, you're not a dummy. You know, I didn't raise no dummy. You might be lazy, but I don't care what you do after high school. You're going to get a diploma. You're going to get a high school diploma. Anything above and beyond that, whatever. So, graduated by the skin of my teeth. And, you know, I'm in this town, man, and now I don't have anything. Now, no distraction. You know, my mom, she works in Marietta, so she leaves before day in the morning. So, I got the house, you know, to myself. I turned 21. Now, I can buy it legally. You know, I'm working odd jobs, going nowhere fast. Like, my group of friends were just like me. They drunk. You know, like, I didn't have friends. I had drinking problems. You know, if I didn't have it, they had it. And it was vice versa. Like, we did some wild things to get, you know, alcohol. Second indication that I was an alcoholic, I got a job at Fergus City. I was, you know, ended up getting a job in the warehouse, and PlayStation 2 that just came out. And I get it. I'm not really a gamer, but, you know, at that time, it felt good to say I got a PlayStation 2. You know, like, that's a brag, a flex. And, you know, money had got tight, so what do? You pawn the brand-new PlayStation 2, right? So got $25 for it. Brand new, you know, that's a couple hundred dollars. And, you know, my first thing is, hell yeah, I'm finna go to, you know, buy my. So I got that PlayStation 2 translated into a 12-pack of Heineken. And I never met a Heineken that I didn't like. So, but that was indication number two that this thing is, like, bigger than me, but still, it didn't matter because I was drunk, and that's all that mattered at the time. Got into a car accident where I got ejected out of the car. First layer of skin was taken out. I lost the first four teeth and came out. Like, the only thing I remember was looking in the car, not feeling my teeth, and I'm like, and it's my mom's car, so, like, I got up, and I'm like, my mom's going to kill me. Like, I didn't think about, like, the blood clot that I had in my brain. So I got life flown to Northside Hospital, and I had to stay for 3 days to let the blood clot subside. And I remember three commercials. It was two Army commercials and a Marine commercial. And the day that I got out, got back to my mom's house, there were two visitors. The first one was the Newton County Sheriff. Y'all know the story, so I, you know. The Newton County Sheriff brings me my citations, one being a DUI, and I was so out of it, I don't remember. I didn't blow, obviously, but they took blood, and, you know, they got it that way. And the next one was a Army recruiter, right, but he was at the wrong house. But that I took that as a sign, like, I got to get out of Covington because I'm not doing anything. Like, all I'm doing is drinking all day and, you know, wasting my life away. So I went to the recruiter. The Army was like, I was like, nah, I'm good on y'all. I'm not smart. I wasn't smart enough to join the Air Force. I don't like water enough to join the Navy. So I joined the Marines. You know, that was my way out. Like, it was going to be a geographical change. And the world was, you know, my oyster at that point. But wherever I am, there I go. Wherever I go, there I am. However that goes. So got out of boot camp, got back home, and got stationed in California. Needless to say, you know, my life was going so great. I didn't have a license at the time. So I'm in California driving my young Marines vehicles, you know, down to San Diego or Tijuana, you know, wherever I wanted to go. Didn't get in any trouble by the grace of God and the lovely highway patrol that was never on me. I did, you know, 2 tours in Iraq, served 12 years. Didn't get in any trouble in the service. I didn't start getting in trouble until I became a civilian. And, you know, first DUI was in Cobb County. All my legal troubles were in Cobb County. That's how smart I am, you know. Count on being busted, the lovely people in Cobb County. Like, you know. You know, and it had taken off. Like, I'm really just bouncing off of life. I was smart enough to find a hostage that made considerably more than I did. So any kind of legal trouble is just, I bat my eyes, say a couple of nice things, and, you know, I'm out of that situation. Needless to say, like, by the third DUI, it was time, I got the inevitable ultimatum, it's either me or the bottle. And I'll never forget this day. I'm standing in the bathroom, got my gallon in my hand, and I'm looking, and I'm making life decisions, like, my best friend, you, my best friend, the one who's always here, you know, whatever I need, you got me. Like, you don't talk back, you're dependable, you know, you take my crap, you know, you don't make me try to do better than I'm doing, you know. So I reluctantly and out of my mind drunk went to my first meeting, which was at Triangle. And I don't know how many people here have been to Triangle, but my favorite place, you got to pass it before you get to Triangle. Y'all know, so I don't have to. But all I saw was Tower Liquor. Yeah, man, I don't care what y'all been talking about in there. I ain't got no more at the house. So you know, I'm in here, like, I sat down, you know, did the preliminary stuff. But my focus, like, I couldn't tell you what anybody said in that meeting, because my focus was, so I snuck out, went and got my vodka, stuffed it in the trunk, went back in the meeting. You know, I'm attentive because I still don't care what y'all talking about. I got what I need, and you know, so I'm finna go home and get right. And you know, y'all can't drink wham boohoo. I'm finna get out of here. You know, that pattern continued. But the deal, the compromise was, you know, you go in this thing, you learn how to. I thought I was just gonna learn how to drink and not have any consequences. So I was like, all right, cool. So my first sponsor was 19. I'm like, not 19 at this point. Like, I'm in my mid-20s, and I'm looking at this young man like, bro, I've forgotten more than you learned How you gonna tell me about drinking, bro? Nah. So needless to say, the group that I became a part of, my first home group. Well, my first home group, you know, I did 30, 60, 90, the 90-day dance until I heard, oh, David, you're doing great. I think you can start back drinking again. Yes. And in that, the compromise was I could drink a six-pack of Heineken a weekend. Okay. I presented the six-pack of Heineken. You know, it was in the refrigerator. But needless to say, I had stash spots throughout the house. I'm still going. I'm still at it. And by this point, I wasn't drinking, you know, for any other reason than to maintain my brothers. You know, I didn't have to go to a bar to be drunk. I didn't have to go to a celebration to be drunk. At this point, I didn't even go to family functions because I was smart enough to know that when I started drinking, I didn't know which one of my personalities was going to show up. So my best thinking was, I can just drink at home. Ain't nobody going to be looking at me like, David, that's your seventh drink. You know, how many more shots you going to take? You know, and that's when I came around, like, my grandmother, it was like just that disappointing look in her eye. You know, it's like, damn, baby, you know, but that hurt, but it didn't stop me from drinking. If anything, it gave me more ammunition to drink more because, hey, you already mad at me. Might as well drink at you. You know, I'm not hurting. I ain't hurting nobody. You know, y'all got a problem with me. I ain't hurting nobody. You know? And that was my life. I played the victim role perfectly. Like, life was happening to me. To the point where, like, I got fired from jobs because I was supposed to be to work at 8. I get to work at 10:15, still go to lunch at noon, leave at 3:15. You work me up for what? I'm an outstanding employee, you know? Like, what am I getting written up for? I was getting written up because the manager didn't like me, you know? When I finally get fired, that's the first phone call. Man, you ain't gonna believe what happened to me today. My manager tripping, you know, because I'm a victim. Fast forward to 2020. At this point, the relationship, we can't stand each other. I don't want to go home. Whenever I'm at home, I'm not there. Like, I'm physically there, but nobody's home. It was such a codependent relationship that, like, we were too stubborn to end it. Got fed up and just was like, I'm over. It's over. And I was, hearing it was over, that was like a weight lifted off of my chest. I don't like you anyway. I can now really go drink how I want to drink without any distraction. But at this point, I had entered the gates of hell. I was a shell of a person. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was waking up every morning just not living. I was living the same Chapman School Groundhog Day every day. Like, it's just a pathetic way of life. I had enough exposure to these rooms that, like, I picked the phone up. I called somebody. And he was like, all right, just meet me at NAVA. Okay. I came. This was January, so the pandemic hadn't really taken off. But I was coming to meetings. I was at a meeting every night of the week. Like, I was doing 7 days a week. I was here. NAVA had become my second home. That's why, like, telling my story is, like, full circle for me tonight. Because I remember many nights in this chair, you know, many nights standing, talking after the meeting, then going to IHOP, you know. Fast forward to March of 2020, I'm going to meetings. There was this one particular meeting. It was a Tuesday night beginners meeting. It was a guy, he didn't say much, but when he spoke, I listened. Like, whatever he was saying was meant for me to hear. So after, you know, keeping it out for like 3 months, I walked up to him and I asked him to be my sponsor. And he said yes. We had exchanged numbers and he said, call me every day. And for that first year, I called him every day. I'm not going to lie, I did what some sponsees do. I got his number and I would like look at the clock. Because he didn't give me a time to call him. He was like, call me every day. So, of course, I'm going to push the issue, you know. So, it'd be 9 a.m. I'm like, nah, it's too early. It'd be noon. Now he's busy. He don't want to talk to me. 6:30 p.m. Now it's too late. I don't want to bother. So, I didn't call him. He sees me in the meeting. What happened? Well, I'm going to call you. So, you know, I finally started calling. It was, you know, just like in the meeting. Like, he was a man of few words. You know, it was like, hey, this David calling, checking in. All right. Coming tomorrow.
Man, okay.
Well, little did I know, you know, he was setting me up to be comfortable calling him when life started happening. In my first year of sobriety, I was almost homeless. I couldn't keep a job. I'm just all over the place. So I'm needing him to guide me, and it became more comfortable to call him. And he allowed me, I really don't know what I was expecting my life to be when I stopped drinking. Like, I was scared. I was like, because I don't know, I'm not going to drink. Like, I can never drink. Never? Like, for real? Like, the rest of my life is a long time. And I don't, you know, and I can't drink. That concept was foreign to me. I came in here, I followed my sponsor's lead. And the next, I started working with steps. I came to believe. I asked God. I couldn't, he can, so I'm going to let him, basically. So that was okay. My religion, I'm Southern Baptist, so I know God. I know church, I put it that way. So in the third step, like, another turning point for me was I had a conception of my grandmother's God. It was hell and brimstone. You know, I was going to hell at 7 because thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And I was doing all that. So it was like, there was no way. Yeah. I was going to bust it open by that time. But in that step, he asked me, what is your characteristics of a friend? And I put loving, understanding, sense of humor, and two other things. And in that moment, he was like, well, you just redefined your God. Now, that was my response. I was like, oh, okay. That's it? Because I thought I was, you know, then we got on our knees and said the third step for it. But that was it. And I had to, I had to go home for an hour or no? No. Okay. I'm still learning. Now, I have been a liar my whole life. And liar is a strong word, but I embellished a lot, you know, to the point where, like, at one point, like, I was telling people that I had traveled all 50 states, even though I had just been to Florida, California, and, you know, like, I would just lie just to, because my mouth was moving, basically. Like, it didn't really, I didn't need a rhyme or reason to lie. By this time, I'm working with my sponsors. We're going to meetings more than that. But like, we're going to Log Cabin, Tucker Turtles. You know, he's getting me involved, and I don't know. Like, my life is changing, and I don't even know it. Like, people are seeing, when they say, you know, people around you will see the changes where you do, that is 1,000% accurate. To the point where, you know, I had a family function. I was not going to go. Like, I really didn't want to go. But I went and made locked eyes with my grandmother, but, again, people see the change before you do. So she pulls me to, she's, baby, I'm so proud of you. those little meetings you're going to, I don't know what they're doing in there, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Head exploded. I'm like, okay, cool. Something's working. Like, grandma, I got this stamp of approval from grandma. So, I was like, all right, cool. And at the flip side is my only reservation to drink was when my grandmother passed. Like, I was like, oh, that's going to be, hold on to this one. Like, no matter what, when she goes, that'll be my out. Because I'm still looking for an out. Like, I believe, but it was still like, I gotta have an out, because not drinking the rest of my life, no way. So that'll be my one. Working the fourth step, I was ready to be honest. I was told, you're only as sick as your darkest secret. And I had some doozies. I had some stuff that me, Paul, and God was going to talk about. Like, I was taking it with me, you know, because, like, nah, I'm not, I'll let you in, but I'm not going to let you all the way in. And luckily, by the time I got to the fourth step, I was ready. Like, I was chomping at the bit, because I wanted to let all that crap go. Like, I wasn't scared of it anymore. I had dealt with it. Let me put it on this paper, talk to this man about it, and free myself from myself. So I'm writing. And then the arrogant in me was like, this a killer. Put down the craziest, darkest, so he won't want to talk to you again. Literally, I know, like, I was really digging deep to get all that extra. 20, you know, all that. So I sit down with my sponsor. We're going, you know, and he just kind of sitting there, like, with a stone face, like, and he really reacting. So I'm like, is he hearing me? And, you know, needless to say, my plan didn't work. You know, he was just like, all right, that's all you got. You know, and then we got to the sex inventory. I was on the fear, because I knew if the fearless didn't get him, the sex inventory was gone. Let me get away. We grew closer that day. I didn't know it until later on. You know, my sponsor and I today are very, very much alike. You know, that's my brother today. That's still my sponsor. Don't get it twisted. Like, that's still, but we are friends today. You know what I mean? But did the fifth step, let it go. Then he tells me to go home for an hour, think about it. That was the most peaceful hour of my life. Like, my head was clear. I didn't have all of that just David Corey Hubbardness on me. Like, I had truly, like, given it up. And I didn't know that, you know, as I was in the process of doing that, but that was one of the most freeing exercises that I had experienced. Sixth step, seventh, inventory. Then it got to the making amends. The list was already written. It was just, you know, actually factually going and making these amends to the people that I had hurt. And I was ready, but I wasn't. I could give it up, but I couldn't. It was like, I don't want to do this, Bobby. He's like, I don't give a shit. What you want to do? Yes, sir. Yeah. So, family. Family was easy. You know, it was more, I'm apologizing for not coming to functions. I wasn't in there tearing it up, like, you know, being disrespectful, fighting. I'm sorry I missed your 50th birthday. I'm sorry I wasn't at Christmas Day. Like, it was, so family was easy. You know, all right, David, do what you know you're supposed to do. You know, when it came down to my ex, That one was, I didn't want to really let that one go, because I only did this because you did this. I still had that, had you not said this, I wouldn't have said that. Like, it's like, you don't understand. We 10 years together. It's a lot of crap that go with that. And again, I had to ask myself, like, how free do I really want to be? And what was my part in it? What was my part in it? I didn't have a part in it. Yeah. I was reacting. Like, nah. So, needless to say, after praying about it, talking to my network about it, we broke up, but the phone bill was still paid. So that was still my way to get back, like, you know. And, you know, I had a buddy who was like, if you really want to be free from this, return the phone. I said, return the phone? Whoa. Return the phone. What's the iPhone? I'm good. Like, but you can either take a sharp knife, or you can, you know, a dull butter knife, and you want a clean, free break, or do you still want to, you know, re-enter crazy town? And I had to really sit back and think about that, because I still thrive on craziness today, like, even without a bottle. Like, I still thrive on chaos. I don't chew on as much as I used to. Like, I really used to just be like, the crazier it is, the better. You know what I mean? I remember, you know, one day my brain was just going. Like, I couldn't, it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't shut up. And I didn't want to drink because the obsession had been lifted. So it wasn't like, let me numb this. But I'm having thought after thought after thought after thought. And so I called my sponsor. I was like, Bobby, I'm losing my mind. Like, what is going on? And he was like, those are emotions. But I had been numb since 14. And I was like, emotions? What? You know, like, forgetting emotions. Like, if this was feeling like, I go back to drinking, because I don't like it. This is what normal people deal with on a regular basis. I don't like this. But, you know, he just told me to be in it. Because you can't go around it. You got to go through it. My life started getting better. Like, I had, like, my brain really quieted. Was it quiet? I'm tripping. But I called him. I'm like, Bobby, I'm at peace. And he was like, he could tell something else was coming behind that. He's like, well, why don't you feel comfortable? Because I'm like, I'm waiting on the other shoe to drop. He's like, why did that drop? Because it's supposed to. I'm not entitled peace. You know what I mean? Like, I got to have my chaos. But I was like, okay. And, you know, the peace had come in my life. Work got to the 12th step. The program really came to fruition for me when I started working with other alcoholics. So by this point, I got like a year and a half. And, you know, life is going good. I'm still, you know, started doing service work, and still really, like, my life had taken off, and I forgot that I'm still crazy. So I'll never forget my first, you know, sponsee. You know, he's 17 days in, and he's just like, David, I'm not drinking no more. All right, cool. I'm finna get my girl back. I'm finna go back to school. I'm finna be in the gym. My mama talking to me again. Life is great. Like, how much time you got? Because that wasn't me at 17. I was 17. I'm like, I'm miserable. I don't want to do this. I need a drink. That reminded me, like, David is still here. Like, I'm still in my head about things. One of my greatest achievements, I'll say, is getting my first guy through the 12 steps and seeing the light come on. Somebody else's eyes, seeing, you know, asking the questions like, David, you know, when you in this situation, what do you do? Like, having given back to somebody what was freely given to me. Like, when I came in here, man, I was poor. Like, people were pouring into me and didn't want anything from me, and that was so foreign to me, because all my friends were just, you know, business transactions. You know, like, as soon as I get what I need from you, you can keep rocks. Like, I don't really need that. or if you stayed around me, I'm looking at you like, you're around me for what? Like, you want something. Like, I need to know what you want. But I quickly found in these rooms, people only want the best for you. There's no strings attached. My people love me until I can learn how to love myself. Today, you know, I have a family that I chose. Like, this first row, second row. You know, I know people in these rooms. Like, my name, when they hear David, you know, other than that tall, lanky, goofy muff, if he say he's going to be somewhere, he's going to be somewhere. You know, if he can help, he is going to help. You know, because I'm pouring back into people. And people, believe it or not, 6 years later, people are still pouring into me. Because just because I'm not drinking don't mean I'm not having problems. Today, it's in the financial realm. You know, I put the plug in the jug, but David still shows up when that money is involved. You know, if David got $1,500, I'm spending $1,600, and my rent ain't paid. You know, that's real. I'm going through that right now, but I'm just genuinely grateful for all of y'all. I'm genuinely grateful for NABBA because January 15th, 2020, when I decided to surrender, it was hard. I didn't like it at first, but I stayed the course with the help of God, my sponsor Bobby, my sponsor brother, everybody in here does. I'm just so grateful, man, because luckily, I didn't get what I deserved, and God is continuing to work in my life. I just can't say it enough. This program and the people in these rooms, man, they tremendous, help, because I'm just so grateful. If you're sitting in this room tonight, 30, 60, 90, hell, under a year, and you still don't believe you're an addict or an alcoholic, what are you sitting on Monday?
8 p.m.
You might be an alcoholic.
Thank you, David.
First I slipped, and then I quit. To a hope-filled dream. You rescued me. Look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promise is. All is. Sometimes quickly. Sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, God walks us. We walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart. promises.